Good morning to all of you. It's a blessing to be gathered together here again. Don't know what kind of a privilege we have here until we don't have it. We just had a word of prayer, so I'll just begin here. Let's start by opening Hebrews 12. We'll start in verse 1. So, we're starting in verse 1, thinking if we look back over Hebrews 11, just I think we all know what's in that chapter. There's a lot of talk about faith and faithful men of Christ that were before us here, and then we start into chapter 12. I'll start reading here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So I'm going to begin by looking at verse 1. He comes in here. Paul's talk. He mentions the great cloud of witnesses that we have that have been on this earth before we were. And he says, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I kind of wanted to get in towards the middle of the verse here. He's describing towards the end of the verse, he's describing a race as our Christian life, the life we're living in, he's describing it a bit as a foot race. And he begins, he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. I'm going to look at that a little bit. If we think of a race, especially something that's, you know, long or a race or something like that, it takes a lot of time and effort we put forth. When we're involved in an activity like that, we try not to carry a lot of extra stuff with us. And that's the picture he's given us, is that these sins and things that are in our lives, that some things aren't even sin, but they're just holding us back. In our race, it's important to be success, or our success is a lot of times determined by the amount of things that are in our way, the obstacles and challenges we face. We're easily distracted, as it said there, says there, which easily beset us. And so sometimes we're easily distracted and we lose sight and we get those weights and distractions can take our focus off of running this race. I don't want to spend too much time here. In short, you know, our life depends on the success of this race, and those things depend on our, you know, those things have a big impact. I do have a story here, so bear with me a little. I'm not sure if I got all those details correct, but I'm just going to read it. So years ago, there was a man hiking through the Rocky Mountains in one of the western states. He had traveled a long ways, but had many miles to go. As he hiked along, he suddenly came to a backpack left along the trail. He stopped to examine it. As he looked at it, he could tell it had been deserted. He could see that someone had left it behind and gone on without it. He could also tell that it had been left there quite some time. So he opened it, and he found some very expensive equipment in there. He found a lot of valuable things. After some evaluation, the man took up his own pack and also the pack he had found and headed on out of the mountains. The extra pack was quite heavy, and he took the risk of not being able himself to survive and make it out alive. But he determined to try it. Finally, after much difficulty and taking some big risks, he was able to make it out alive. Upon arriving home, he contacted the owner. The owner of the backpack said that he was way back in the mountains, and as he was hiking out, he realized he didn't have enough food, water, and strength to carry the entire weight he had with him out of the mountain in time. He could try it, take all his possessions with him, but he chose to make it. But his chances to make it off the mountain alive were slim. So upon contemplation, he had abandoned the pack, taking only the things he needed to survive, proceeding to go on. He knew that life without those things was better than death with them. And I want to use that a little bit as an example. In our lives, we're often our life has so easily we get bogged down with distractions, and extra things that we don't really need in life, and they take our focus off, and they make so we can't run. We need to stop and evaluate our lives and look at what all we're taking along, what all we have with us. How many things am I dragging along that are only hindering me? You know, if we evaluate the things that are taking up our time and we ask, is this helping or just extra weight? Is it just sucking up our time? You know, something small can easily take away a lot of time over a long time that we could put to a lot better use. We can make a lot of excuses, but the question is, will some hiker find our corpse with our pack? There's also things to watch. There's also things, you know, you can wait too long. You can abandon your pack, but you may be stuck to it too long and you still don't have enough time to get away. So it's something that we need to evaluate all the time in our lives and look at, you know, what things are consuming our time and how important those things are. We only want to take the things with us that have the most eternal value. Sometimes good things have to be left behind to make room so that better ones can take their place. There's a lot of good things that can take time away from better things, and so we need to evaluate those things. So looking at the last part of Hebrews 12 verse 1 there, it says that let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I looked up the word patience, and it's not the word we would typically use, the way we would typically use patience. It's Greek word 5281, and it would be cheerful or hopeful endurance, consistency, enduring, patience, or patient continuing. It has a lot of persistence in the patience there. It's not just, it's action. So that word, patience, actually comes from the word endured that you see in verse 2 there. It's actually the same word. I'm not fine. I'll just read it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's the same patience and endured. Patience comes from that word endured. It gives the picture of going with all your worth and don't stop till you get there. It's not a running this race isn't something you just run until you get tired and then you quit. It's you have to keep going. It's a run and it's a work, and it takes your entire life to get to the end of it. Let's read Philippians 3:13 through 14. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here we see Paul, he is using an example there. He presses towards that mark in the form of a race. You run for the finish. And that word, it's an all-in effort there. In Greek, that word press means pursue, follow, or persecute. It's an all-out effort. And that's how we need to be. If we're going to get to the end of this race, if we're going to be successful in this race, it's going to take everything. We need to be putting all our effort into that. Another verse, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. This is Paul again. And he is saying that, you know, he has done that. He has lived. He has fought that good fight. And that's a challenge to me. When I get to the end of my life, am I going to be able to say that I have fought that good fight and I have run that race? We'll keep going here and read verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So we see the reward for that running and being successful in that race. It's a crown of life, and it's eternal life. But that's only if we're faithful to the end. If we lose way, if we lose somewhere in the middle of the race, or we lose out, stop, then there's no reward. When you run a race, you don't get a prize in the middle or the beginning, it's at the end. You have to finish the race. It's only the faithful that shall inherit eternal life, not the ones that begin well, but the ones that end well. Going back to Hebrews 12, let's look at verse 2 a little bit here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's coming right after he's telling us to run this race, He says, looking unto Jesus. And I think that's a key. If we want to be successful in our race of life, we're going to have to be looking at Jesus and using His example in our lives to be victorious and to run this race. It's not... He is our perfect example. And he ran in his life, he had a lot of challenges and difficulties that he faced, and there'll be a lot for us too. But if we think about the cross and that was an obstacle, or that was a big thing, and he was faithful in that. And there's a lot of little things in our lives that sometimes we can stumble over and we want to quit running, you know, but look at what all he has done. There isn't anything that we can even compare in our lives to that. So just a challenge there to keep running. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to jump down to verses 5-7 again here. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So just a little bit on that. As we're running our race through life, oftentimes we come through challenges. God allows things to happen to us intentionally to strengthen us. It depends on what we do with those challenges, whether or not we are strengthened. But they mold our life. A lot of times He is trying to teach us something, or there's things that He wants to work in our heart. And that's one way He works in our lives, is by allowing those challenges, the chastisement that we see in those verses there. If we look at verse 7, we can see that chastisement is actually a very important part of our lives. It says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So in other words, he's saying there, he doesn't have a son that he doesn't chasten. So in order to be his son, we're going to have those challenges in our life. I'm going to read through verses 8 through 11. Probably not going to make a lot of comments then. But if ye without chastisement whereof all are partakers, then are not... Sorry. Excuse me. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. For furthermore, ye have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily in a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, and we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There's some interesting things in there. Compares it to our life here and our parents and the respect we have for them in that, and then also comparing it to God. It was a blessing. I was challenged by reading those things. But it has the potential to yield good fruit, but it depends a lot on how our heart is in accepting that. If we don't have a heart that's willing to accept chastisement or willing to take trials and turn them into stepping stones, they definitely will be stumbling blocks. And there isn't much hope for growing if we can't accept chastisement. In closing, I'd like to read Galatians 6, verse 9. Just one verse there. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So I just want these things to be an encouragement to us. It's not a challenge. I mean, it is a challenge, but there is victory. There will be an end of the race. And if we press on and with patience continue on, we will be victorious. That verse might be slightly out of context, but we will reap if we faint not. If we faint, then we won't reap. But if we don't faint, we will reap. It's a lifelong race. It's not something that goes over in a couple hours. It's a lifelong race, and it has a lifelong set of distractions. There's no end to the challenges, distractions, and things that try to trip us up as we're running this race. But if we keep our eyes at the end of the race and lay aside all those weights, everything that we don't need, and we run. And we run with patience, with continuance, and with endurance the race that God has set before us, we will be victorious. And that was a challenge to me as I thought about it, and I hope it can be an encouragement to you all as well. To run, it's not a picnic in the park. It's serious, and we need to run and give it our all. God bless you.